Srila Prabhupada's purport. We should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute, whether he kills or bestows his favor. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmarama. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam jome bhaktya prayachyati tadaham bhaktyupahritam asnami prayatatmana. If a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? He is not actually dependent, but he likes to be dependent upon his devotee. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras. There is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This whole Bhagavatam is relating to the science of God. Actually, it's a very powerful science. And the problem is, and this is being clarified by Parikshit Maharaj in these statements and questions to Shukadeva Goswami, that we have no vision of what is God. We have no way of understanding what is Krishna. How to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srimad Bhagavatam enables us to actually understand him very scientifically, without any difficulty. And also, as Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, asammudha, without any doubt. Because these doubts inevitably arise because of our imperfect vision. This is one of the points made in this purport. And this is clearly the situation that Parikshit Maharaj is trying to clarify for the benefit of everyone. He's speaking very nicely to actually clarify it for ourselves. Parikshit Maharaj, he wants to hear the whole subject and have it explicitly explained. And he's asking these questions to clear up the the whole subject matter. We were discussing last night in Bhagavad Gita about how the three modes of nature are acting, and people's faith is there in different ways, according to whether one is situated in the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion or the mode of goodness. People have different developments of their faith and understanding. So many things. But the idea is that if the intelligence and faith are brought to the mode of goodness, then it becomes very easy to get a proper understanding of what is Krishna. So Bhagavatam is meant to help us rise even beyond the mode of goodness and actually become situated on the pure state of clear understanding about Krishna. That is beyond the mode of goodness, because simply the mode of goodness, it has no access to Krishna. The mode of goodness is a material mode of nature. But Krishna is transcendental to all the three modes. But from the mode of goodness, understanding about Krishna becomes very possible. Just like we can see that here we've got something made of wood. So we don't want this to happen. Please don't try this at home. But everybody knows that inside the wood there is fire. Yes? That's what I'm saying. Don't try this. But the principle is that when the wood is dry, you can easily bring the fire out of wood. You just touch a lighted match to it and the fire will pretty soon start to come out. But if the wood is damp, then it is very difficult to get the fire out. And if it's wet, it's not going to happen. So similarly, according to the mode of nature we're actually in, we will have different degrees of doubt and misunderstanding and imagination about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically meant for revealing the science of God, for enabling us to bring out the fire of spiritual understanding and spiritual life, knowing Krishna very clearly, to bring us immediately to the transcendental platform. It isn't a question that we have to try to go through the slow, painful process of rising up from the mode of passion to the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. Actually, immediately we have access to transcendental knowledge. And this process of chanting Krishna's names, this process of hearing about Krishna, reciting, not parrot fashion, but reciting with gradually some understanding about Krishna, is the process of actually fixing us on the transcendental platform. Immediately. Even a drunkard can be situated on the transcendental platform. Prabhupada explained how. Just he realizes that the taste, the pleasure I'm getting from this alcohol is Krishna, is coming from Krishna. If we can appreciate that everything is Krishna, then actually we become on the transcendental platform. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the principle is to be associated with Krishna. Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. This is stated here. And the principle is association. So we associate with different modes of nature and we become bewildered in different ways. But factually, as we associate with Krishna through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we gradually become like Krishna in quality. not in quantity, but in quality. We cannot pretend that we are one with Krishna. We cannot pretend that we are one with Krishna in all respects. But actually, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that in some respects we are one with Krishna in quality. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamjanam Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujaya Yuvasesha Sanyavari Pasti Jyadi Shadha. So Shrimati Radharani and Shri Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai, they look very beautiful. Wouldn't you like to look beautiful like them? Actually, they have these wonderful transcendental qualities. And the more that we try to render service to Krishna, just the principle of decorating Krishna very nicely, decorating him with beautiful ornaments, beautiful clothes, nice flowers, making nice arrangements. Actually, those wonderful qualities, they're reflected back in our hearts when we try to render service to Krishna. How to decorate Krishna? The idea is that we're trying to please Krishna, make some nice arrangement for his pleasure. And Krishna gives that inspiration so that we can do that. He gives the guidance. There may be some perspiration also. It may be hard work, how to make sure everything gets ready on time. Make some nice, beautiful arrangements so that they look very pleasing. And then you will see that the mirror is offered to the deity. Maybe you don't see. In London, I think, they actually show the mirror to the deity before the devotees so that the devotees can see, yes. But I think here you offer the mirror behind the curtains? Yes. So actually, before they come out, just like the ladies and sometimes the gentlemen, when they dress, they look in the mirror, make sure everything is first class, and they come out to greet. So Krishna, he's the original person, the Supreme Personality. He is looking very splendid, Radha and Krishna. And we decorate our hearts in this way, and we decorate our hearts and our consciousness and our minds very nicely. We cleanse, first of all, before you decorate, you have to cleanse. There should be some cleaning. So the deities, they're also given nice bathing before they're dressed. And our hearts, the principle is to clean. You get clean consciousness. Once the consciousness is clean, then it can be decorated with all the Vaishnava qualities. This is the fact. So the cleansing process is to wipe away all the misconceptions. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is for. And this is why Parikshit Maharaj, he's asking these important questions. So what is he asking? He's asking about Krishna's nature. How can he be like an ordinary person? Krishna, he doesn't fear anyone. What has Krishna got to fear? He's not afraid even of Putana. Just a little baby, Krishna. Only a few weeks old, actually. And this giant demon is coming in disguise. So many demons are coming. Trinavarta, Agasura. Yeah. Agasura wasn't pulling any punches. He was already, 12 miles long, lying there on the ground. And if Krishna's devotees are not afraid of Agasura, you see what they're doing, that they're seeing that, this big creature, this mouth wide high in the sky. And at first they were thinking, what is this? Is this a big cave? But no, they could understand this is some demon's mouth. Not only some demon's mouth, but his teeth are hanging down like stalactites from the top of his mouth. And, his long tongue appears like a big road. And they're thinking that this fishy bad smell coming from his stomach is the smell of his intestines. And they're thinking, this is just a big demon, and he's come here to swallow us all. But they're thinking, well, it's okay, because Krishna's not afraid. Why should we be afraid? Krishna will kill him like he's killed so many other demons. He's no big deal. He's just some demon. So it's not a problem. And so, fearlessly, the cowherd boys and the calves, they all decide, all right, well, let's go and have an adventure. Let's all go and walk inside the mouth of Agasura. Fearlessly. And they're dancing and singing Haribol and playing. For them, it's a big game. Where is the fear? Even in Krishna's devotees. So if the fear is not there even in Krishna's devotees, how can the fear be there in Krishna? Krishna is not afraid of anything. So why should he be envious of them? When we say envious, what do we mean when we say envious? Generally, we tend to think of jealousy and envy as being the same, but there is a nice distinction that both are based on the intolerance of another person's advancement in life. But envy implies some malice towards a person. That is an envious attitude. If I want to do you some harm. So Krishna, he doesn't have any interest in doing any harm to anyone. Krishna is not like that. He's not an envious personality. So the result of Krishna's behavior, the natural attitude of Krishna, he's expressed in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita. I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. Father, he doesn't want to harm his children. He actually wants what's best for them, even if the children have become nonsense and naughty. Then how to correct them? How to do something good for them? And even punishing children is good for them sometimes when they're misbehaving. If you don't punish them, then they'll just grow worse, is it not? Anyone has experience of looking after children? Anyone has experience of being a child? Was it the grandmother or the mother? Okay. I know the story, but I wasn't sure if it was the grandmother or the mother. No, please, you carry on. Yes, so some punishment is required. It's actually helpful. I remember one time I was quite naughty as a child. I'll make a confession. There was one local toy shop, and I used to go in there on my way back from school, and sometimes I would see so many things, and sometimes I would take one, put it in my pocket. And to my horror, one day I got caught. Oh. And later my father, he gave me a spanking. And I appreciated that. Actually, it was very good. Because otherwise, it would have just gone from bad to worse. So if I hadn't been corrected, then it would have been very bad news. So my father, actually, he did me a good favor. Generally, he was very kindly disposed to me, but this time he gave me a spanking, and it was helpful. And later I appreciated it, that yes, I deserved that. That's good for me. But sometimes we can't appreciate these things. So the demons, they get some chastisement because their attitude is wrong. Their attitude is against the authority of the personality of Godhead. And therefore Krishna, he takes appropriate action. It may appear to be siding with the demigods, but actually Krishna is equal to everyone. And Maharaj Parikshit, even in the 10th canto, again, Parikshit Maharaj, he questions this point when Sukadev Goswami is describing about the rasa dance. Because in the description of the introduction of the rasa dance, because there are, I think, four chapters discussing this in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we find that Shukadeva Goswami, he is wondering how it is that the gopis are getting such mercy from Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami, he explains that Krishna is merciful towards everyone. And he cites the example, again, of Shishupal. Because Shishupal, he was continually blaspheming Krishna. And so what did Krishna do? He actually, with his Sudarsan Chakra right there in the court of King Yudhisthira, he took his Sudarsan Chakra and severed his head. He waited. He didn't let anyone kill him because everybody wanted to kill him, because nobody could handle, any sane person couldn't handle the thought that Krishna was being blasphemed. A very bad attitude. But Krishna said, no, you just wait, be patient. And then when Shishupala had blasphemed Krishna so many times, then Krishna said, okay. He took his chakra and removed the head. So was this punishment? No. It was seen there in the vision of everyone that Shishupala's spirit soul, the actual person, came out of the body and was seen in the vision of everyone to enter into the body of Krishna, to merge with the body of Krishna. So he got that liberation. Krishna is kind even to the demons. He's not thinking how to harm them. He's thinking how to benefit them. He gives that liberation which the Mayavadis work so hard to get just by being killed by Krishna. Just by coming in association with Krishna, everyone becomes purified. Of course, for the devotees, that is not a very good thing. If this liberation is available even for the enemies of Krishna, then what is the situation for those who actually have great love for Krishna? Their benefit is far, far greater. They actually get the great benefit of eternal devotional service to Krishna. So it is different between the devotees and the demons because the relationship is different. The mood is completely different. Their service is favorable. Their service is favorable. Favorable means it's performed with a view to pleasing Krishna. And therefore the reciprocation is of a different quality. Someone wants to see Krishna as enemy. Krishna says, okay, if that's how you want to relate to me, then we'll be enemies, and I'll kill you. It's not a problem. Whatever you want. So this topic of the science of God is introduced in this way. This first chapter, the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. This is very important to understand. We shouldn't be bewildered by the external display of Krishna's energy and mistake and think that Krishna is partial to the demigods and envious towards the demons. Actually, Krishna is equal to all. Are there any questions or comments briefly, because we started a little late? Anyone has some questions?